おかけになった相手先電話番号ではおつなぎできません。番号をお確かめの上おかけ直しください。
We're sorry your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
FBIL Radio,
including our intelligence agencies, poses the most serious of dangers because our country is a battlefield.
We are at DEFCON 1.
This is FBIL Radio, episode 2, week of June 5th, 2005. I am Mr. White.
And I'm Malice Factor.
How's it going, man?
Hey, man, it's going good. How you doing?
All right, all right. Did you like that introduction phone call or what?
Yeah, that was great.
Sounds like a Japanese woman on crack. And why that's there for an, you know, telephone company error message is beyond me.
Well, she's probably saying whatever we would normally get from a... an error, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's an American number, so...
I don't get it. How many people are of Asian descent that would speak Japanese or Chinese or Korean or...
I don't know.
Neither do I, man.
Anyway, yeah, that number for anybody who wants to call it was 1-800-435-9606. Of course, you could have just decoded the DTMF tones at the beginning there, but, you know, why put you through all that trouble? I got that number off of freaksandgeeks.com, their spring telephone directory. So, it's a cool site. Check it out, freaksandgeeks.com.
Definitely check it out before the FBI man with the gun comes and shuts it down.
Yeah, that's you're talking about that Business Week article from...
I'm still pissed off about that from 2 weeks ago, man.
Yeah.
I was looking at it the other day still.
Were you?
Yeah. Looking at it, you know.
It's
not
funny.
Not really reading it. Just looking at that fucking guy on the front cover with the gun.
Front cover, yeah.
I thought twice about burning that fucking CD. Thought twice about installing that fucking keylogger.
Yeah, yeah. That keylogger, man. Brand new keyloggers out there. I don't know. I got to look into this keylogging technology. So.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Obviously. Now we've got 2 weeks worth of shit to go over.
Yeah, some interesting news items. Good main topic for this week. You know, all about staying private out there on the internet.
Staying anonymous.
Yeah, don't want the man sniffing your traffic.
Tor routing everyone. It's a great thing, and we're going to talk about it tonight for the main topic. But first, like I said, we have a lot of stuff to go over, although we'll probably finish that in like 10 minutes and have nothing really to talk about after that, except maybe a TIE Fighter case mod.
TIE Fighter case mod. Yeah, that was something. You saw that in Slashdot?
Yeah, TIE Fighter yeah. Desk mod. It's cool, but some people really have too much time and energy on their hands.
I wonder how long it took that guy to do that.
Yeah, I think he said in the article, was it like 6 months or something like that, or maybe six weeks?
Yeah. Definitely looked like a lot of effort went into it. Of course
it did, but we're not living in New York and have our own apartment where we can build a fucking TIE Fighter rig and afford to sand those fucking solar panels down on that thing, man. And
yeah, I wonder if his mom fronted the money for that or what.
Exactly.
Honey, son, you're 35 years old. You can pay for your own TIE Fighter, computer mods.
You're not a child.
And I don't want a TIE Fighter in my living room, goddammit.
You told me I just need to serve email with that, honey. I don't care if you can fit action figures in there.
What you reap is what you sow, huh? Anyway. I'd just like to say thank you to Rage Against the Machine for granting us permission in written form to allow us to use that song as the intro for our show.
You know, I'm going to walk outside today, and whoever that man was in the FBI with the gun is going to fucking jack my ass up and come for you right afterwards. You keep on saying shit like that.
Well, we have written permission, you know.
Well, really? So, it's when that we have written permission.
Oh, yeah. Damn it, man. You say we do, they'll believe us.
Oh, okay. That'll fuck them. That'll fuck that Q lawsuit. Come on.
Anyway, you want to get into the reload?
Yeah, let's do up the reload.
Wow, that was kind of quiet.
Yeah, that was
I forgot to turn the volume back up on the mixer.
So why don't you do it again, because...
Damn it. Oops. Beeps and squeaks, huh?
Why have we had more fuck-ups on episode 2 than we did on episode 1, man?
I don't know, dude.
We're just off our game this week.
Yeah, we are. You know what? It's because the power supply is plugged in and probably creating a buzzing noise, which will be loud as hell on the final.
Yeah, well, you know, that buzzing noise I noticed really wasn't that bad after I turned down the volume on my $100 Kmart speakers at home.
Kmart sells speakers for $100.
They did at one point, didn't they? Yeah. Before they joined with the Sears brand.
Yeah. Got swallowed up by Walmart, whatever.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, fuck them.
So first thing on the list is HP announces new national identity system solution built on Microsoft .NET platform. So I guess this ties into
the topic from last week.
Yeah, with the national ID that passes. Perfect timing for HP. I'm sure they were planning this, you know, once that gets passed, and then they could swoop in and get some massive government contract to supply the entire United States with a national ID system.
Based on .NET framework.
Yeah, that's not...
That's fantastic. So now when I need to renew my fucking Xbox Live registration, I can get my fucking driver's license done up at the same time, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough we're going to have the national ID, but, you know, to have the whole system as secure as my desktop with XP on it is. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm confused reading this about how it's on .NET platform. I mean, .NET is really just, you know, some programming libraries. It's not... I don't understand how they could say it's on a .NET platform, but Microsoft's still trying to hold on to Yeah, the whole .NET thing, I guess.
I guess Microsoft doesn't want to refund, like, the 10 fucking merchants out there that paid out the ass to use that technology for their e-commerce sites.
Well, really, it's you go to Windows Update, you get the .NET platform, I mean.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is if you do run an SP2 update on your XP box, you will get the framework for that, and then you'll notice you'll have to download two more fucking patches for it after you install that framework.
After you install it, yeah. That's kind of funny. So, you figure they'd just patch the original thing, but no, why not? Anyway, so back to this whole HP National ID system. What the hell am I looking for here? Yeah, it's going to run on Server 2003 Enterprise Edition, BizTalk Server 2004, MySQL Server 2000 64-bit, and a .NET framework, and Microsoft Services, whatever that is. So, hopefully HP will get a lot richer off of this, and
hopefully, you
know, a lot of people will get their identity stolen.
Yeah, probably when they're renewing their Xbox Live registration.
Oh man, this is when I saw this, I was like, "You got to be kidding me!" I mean, really?
Lol, as Jeremy would say, lol. I don't know, HP. They're kind of noob, right?
HP, yeah, they're a bunch of noobs, huh? So, yeah, when's the next episode of Pure Pwnage coming out?
It says at the end of June, man, on the website.
Is it?
Who knows?
What's the web address for that? PurePwnage.com?
Yeah, that's the...
Is it?
That is the...
Yeah, if anybody's never seen Pure Pwnage, check it out.
Yeah, but I caution you, you better be a gamer or at least know some things about video games before you watch it, because Mr. White and myself found it to be absolutely fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's probably the... You know, one of the best things I've ever seen somebody put out there.
Yeah, the quality is really good on that.
Couple dudes in Canada. It's like a TV show. There's what, 6 episodes so far or something?
Yeah, 6 episodes.
I mean, the thing that sucks is, I mean, they're doing it on their spare time, so it takes them a while in between episodes. But
yeah, definitely. Well,
it's a hysterical gaming parody and excellent quality.
Check it out if you're a gamer.
PurePwnage.com. Good luck spelling it.
If you can spell it, as the t-shirt says, you probably need to get laid.
Alright, so what's up next here? CIA overseeing internet war game. Okay. CIA is conducting a secretive... Good thing it's secretive, huh? I mean, it's on every news station and every news website you go to, but, you know, it's a secretive war game dubbed Silent Horizon. And,
wow.
You know, the CIA is, you know, good for anything. It's code names for stuff. I mean, they get pretty creative. I'm surprised Silent Horizon hasn't been used already, but, you know.
Better than, what was it, D-Elite or... Delete. What does the FBI come up with those code names for? Oh, that was actually a news item before, but
what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
I'll talk about it after we get done making fun of the CIA.
All right. So let me get through the first sentence of the story here. The CIA is conducting a secretive war game dubbed Silent Horizon this week to practice defending against electronic assault on the same scale as September 11th terrorism attacks.
So
electronic assault on the same level as September 11th attacks. You know, everything is in the name of September 11th, you know? Which, some stuff, it's fine, and it's good, but, you know, spending billions of dollars in the name of terrorism, I don't know. But, yeah, so it's a 3-day exercise, which is secretly being held in Virginia. Last week this was? This was last week, yeah. And the source was spoke on the condition of being anonymous because the CIA told them not to disclose any details because it was a secretive war game. And so, of course, you know, somebody just picks up the phone and calls the Associated Press and it's all over the place because it's secret. And so... unbelievable. I mean, why do people feel the need to just leak stuff to the media? I mean, I'm glad saw this news story, and I'm glad it's out there, but, you know.
DC is notorious for the leaks, man.
Yeah. Well, that much shit floating around.
So secretive. What was the name of the exercise again? Silent Horizon?
Silent Horizon, yeah.
So what, were they tagging computers with the .NET framework, or...
let me see.
They managed to encrypt their wireless traffic.
Yeah, from last episode. Yeah, maybe they should, they probably, you know, wouldn't have to, pretend it's on a scale of September 11th if they did shit like protect their wireless networks and maybe had like...
Change the passwords from admin.
Changed everything off of default. Yeah. This internet war game was done up by the CIA's Information Operations Center, which evaluates threats to U.S. computer systems from foreign governments, criminal organizations, and, of course, hackers, being used again in the wrong text, was running the war game. About 75 people, mostly from the CIA, gathered in conference rooms and reacted to signs of mock computer attacks.
They reacted to what do they mean by they reacted to it? What, they were crying, or they were...
They run over and start unplugging computers?
Yeah, what were they? They were reacting to it. Reacting strongly? Yeah. What? Where's that article from again? Is this CNN?
This was on CNN, but it's from the Associated Press.
And that's what you get when you pull a cut-and-paste job.
Yeah, well... That's what you get when you have one person call up a reporter, speak on the condition of
who wrote being that? Brian Groh?
Man,
just calling out everybody tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, well, apparently you are. So, all right, next one. Apparently, the Bush administration has federal appeals court. Last Friday, to restore its ability to compel internet service providers to turn over information about their customers or subscribers as part of its fight against terrorism because of 9/11. So, the first paragraph is interesting. Bush wants to be able to have government officials call up ISPs and get customer data without any kind of search warrant, you know, court documents, having to go to a judge, you know, just have a couple dudes in Suburbans roll down to like SBC or whatever and say, we need this information and...
You're going to give it to us because we're the FBI and...
Because we have a badge. You know, that says FBI, and you can't just, like, go and buy those online or anything like that, but anyway. Yeah, it's funny how it says, restore the ability to compel internet service providers. I love that word, compel.
Yeah, like they have,
like they have a choice, you know? Like, we're going to sit down here and...
Strongly suggest to you that you hand over...
Yeah. Persuade you, make you feel like it would be good for you to do this, you know. Make you feel compelled just to,
I feel very compelled right now to hand over all my customers' information to you.
It's, yeah, so the use of the word compel there got to me. And the other thing it says is... turn over information about their customers or subscribers.
What's their customers the difference? Or subscribers? There is no difference. No, is there at least for you subscribe to an ISP, right?
Yeah. Again, the Associated Press felt that there was a difference, but I'm just wondering if I'm a customer or if I'm a subscriber. You know?
You're probably both. Whoever was writing that is probably aware of search engine optimization and just trying to put more fucking keywords in there, man. Come on. We all do it.
If reporters
they need to hit that 500 limit.
Yeah.
That 500 word limit, so. Journalism at its finest, man.
So, the legal filing with the Second Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in New York comes amid a debate in Congress over renewal of the Patriot Act and whether to expand FBI's power to seek records without approval of a judge or grand jury. That's scary.
Well, I guess we'll just have to take a wait-and-see approach, right? I mean...
Well, what the hell else are we going to do?
Exactly.
Sit here and take it like always. You know? It's... You know, the noose is getting tighter. It's what it feels like.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
It definitely does.
Yeah. I mean, the noose is getting tighter. So, what else do we got? I thought we had more new stuff than this.
I thought we do.
We got a couple more. Oh, this is a good one.
Hold on. Before we move to the next topic, I just want to explain myself for rudely interrupting you. We're talking about the code name scheme from the CIA. I now remember where I picked up that delete or de-elite code name from.
Yeah.
We made a reference last time to being able to download the Star Wars Episode 3 BitTorrent, and to no one's great surprise, elite.com, which was a torrent site, or actually I don't think it was a torrent site, it was just a site that was apparently distributing illegal copies of software and all that kind of stuff, was shut down. That was 2 weeks ago. I'm a little hazy with the details, but I just had to laugh because the FBI seems to come up with these clever nicknames that is a play on words, you know, for the target group. Like elite is de-elite, like delete.
Yeah,
except spelled
wrong. I get it. It's just not that funny.
Yeah, it was funny 2 weeks ago, but it is funny, man, because a federal agency is fucking, first of all, using leet speak to refer to target.
If they even put threes instead of E's in the code name.
Oh, I mean, dude, you know what's coming up next. They already got the hyphens in there.
There's probably some guy in an FBI office going, you know, no one will know what we're talking about if we just go ahead and put threes instead of E's and zeros for O's.
Yeah, so...
Who comes up with these names?
That's what I'm driving
like, someone's
at,
getting paid, working in these organizations, you know, soaking up tax dollars, sitting at a desk going... I mean, is that like a job title? Like, you're like mission name guy or something? I mean, you know? Is that what you do for a living? It's like...
Silent Horizon.
Yeah, it's like... Hi, I'm Mr. White. Nice to meet you. Hi, I'm Bill. What do you do for a living, Bill? I am mission name guy over at the FBI. I come up with all those cool code names, you know?
You read about them on Slashdot? Yeah. Like, we were so totally able to pwn. Oh, I said pwn, not own. You might not be familiar with that. That's like a typo, a regular typo. You hit the P instead of the O. I'm using the lingo, man. We pwned elite group, but I was the one who came with the name with saying D-Elite, get it? D-Elite. Like, we totally deleted them because they were committing that heinous crime, you know, they were stealing money from rich people, or preventing rich people from becoming slightly more rich.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, can you picture that? There's a guy sitting at a desk. All of a sudden, he runs into boss's office. He's like, I got it. The name for the new mission. Spent Monkey. <It's>
like, but we spell monkey.
What? No.
M-U-N-K-Y.
No, we don't know what we're talking about.
Or we could leave, like, the E out of monkey. So it's almost like money.
And if we do that, when we send emails referring to it over our unencrypted wireless networks, no one will know what we're talking about. Oh, man, the government's a bunch of noobs.
So what was the next item before that segue?
This is beautiful. Microsoft's South Korean MSN site was hacked. Wonderful. And this happened a couple days ago. I think 2 days ago. And apparently some quote-unquote hackers planted password-stealing software onto MSN's web servers in South Korea for the MSN.co.South Korea. I think that's what you type in to get there. I forget the country code for South Korea.
For all you Business Week readers, there's translation.
KR.
You know, keylogger install. Someone typed in MSN.
Password stealing software. That's one of those new keylogger thingies, huh? Man, these guys are good.
Unbelievable. They're horrible cyber terrorists.
Oh.
So they were stealing passwords and usernames, and did they actually deface the MSN South Korea? Like, did they put up English characters instead of Korean characters?
No, I don't think so. I think the password stealer was sitting there for like a week or two. I forget exactly. Let me scan the story here, see if I can find it. But yeah, it was sitting there for a while before anybody noticed. Officials have warned them about a break-in. Remove the password stealing software. Stolen passwords for up to 3 days. That's what it was.
And then they left a text file on their web server which said, "We will prosecute you."
Yeah. Apparently they were stealing game account passwords for
Xbox Live.
For Xbox Live. Which lessened the significance of the break-in. Since the quote-unquote hacker software appeared not to collect any network or banking passwords. You know, it's not significant that someone just rooted, you know, MSN's web servers and dumped software on there and collected information, regardless of whether it's a game account password or not. Yeah, it's not so significant, you know?
I mean, you know, because following government guidelines, the current government guidelines, all those passwords are the same for the bank accounts and... The router passwords and the admin passwords are all admin to begin with, or password.
The router passwords, router. Yeah. Anyway, so...
Did they actually catch these guys that hacked into...
No, doesn't say anything about that, but Microsoft isn't taking responsibility for it because apparently their South Korean site, they contract out a company to host it, so
are they going to change their web hosting company out there?
Microsoft's web hosting company. That's funny. Yeah, they said they didn't patch the servers, so
and then wouldn't Microsoft happen couldn't if they do were anything running about Apache.
It would be kind of funny if the company they contract out to is running, you know, Linux, Unix boxes, Apache on there and stuff.
You mean they'd be running it on an IIS machine, man?
Apparently. So.
IIS 4.
IIS 4. On Windows NT. So, yeah, I mean, Microsoft says it's not their fault at all, but still looks pretty bad amidst their whole
it
security thing they have going on now. Yep. Stating they're secure, finally. Because
Mr.
Service
White,
Pack
were,
2 yells at you.
How long did it take for them to... how long have they been putting out operating systems for now?
Yeah.
20 years?
Yeah.
You know, Mr. White was in the thick of it when the sequel Slammer hit a couple years ago. Those of you might remember that. And to this day, we still laugh about the fact that Microsoft said something similar, right? They weren't responsible or... There's something along those lines.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And then the next day,
it came out that Microsoft's own SQL servers were down because their own, at the company, at the corporate office.
Every SQL server in the world went down.
Because of a failure
to
upgrade their servers, right?
Yeah, for a patch that was like 9 months old.
Yeah, but I believe that your servers weren't affected by...
No.
That one of, I, you know,
10 I know to minutes. Update my shit, I'll tell you that. So, yeah, that was bad. That was
definitely
long. That was a long day, I'll tell you that. That one. But, long day as a network admin. So.
Once again, Billy and Steve-O have another public relations thing to attend to.
Yeah, they're just brushing it off, though. So, I have a theory brewing here that the next news story...
get your tinfoil hats on right now.
Yeah. The next news story, which I just closed out the tab in Firefox. That sucks.
You think IE7 will have a tab system?
Didn't they already say it's going to have a tab system?
Yeah, but is it going to be a good tab system?
I don't know, man. What the hell are you asking me for?
Because you're the IE expert.
You know, I can't find that damn page. This sucks.
Definitely.
Man, we were just not prepared this week.
Oh, no one will be able to tell, man. Don't worry about that.
Oh, no, yeah. We'll sound great. Now, we were doing this at the 11th hour here.
Yeah, by the seat of our pants, like most security upgrades.
You want to cut to a commercial?
Well, we already did the pure pwnage.
Anyway, all right, fuck looking this up again, God, son of a bitch. Yeah. Anyway, so the other thing was that came out that North Korea, and here's where the, you know, theory I have brewing comes in, is that news story came out today. I think, was it today? Today.
Yeah, it was today.
That someone in, an official in North Korea.
Are we going to even chance to say the ministry's name here? We've been making fun of it for an hour.
The Defense Ministry Subcommittee of Defense Ministries or something.
The Agency for Defense Ministries, Defense Ministry Development Agency, Defense Guys.
Oh, it was the Defense Ministry's Agency for Defense Development. That's what it
That's
was.
That's what it was.
An official from the North Korean Defense, what was it again? Ministry's Agency for Defense. How many times did you put defense in, you know, the title of
like
it?
Like we said, it's keyword optimized, man.
North Korean governments creating names for their agencies for search engine optimization. Oh, wow. Yeah, anyway, so this this official guy, whose name I couldn't even pronounce if I did have it in front of me, stated that North Korea has 500 to 600 hackers training, working, and that its hacking power rivals that of the CIA. Why they came out and announced this, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know why you would do that, but, you know, the MSN site went down in South Korea, so, you know, maybe these guys got a little bored one day kicking around, you know, on their lunch break.
Kicking around keyloggers and...
Yeah, you know, maybe it was North Koreans that invented the keylogger, huh?
Man, you don't even want to go into the whole Chinese connection with that, too, you know?
Oh.
The Great Firewall of China.
The Great Firewall of China.
I need keyloggers to subvert that Great Firewall of China or whatever it is.
Anyway. Yeah, so I guess that's...
I guess that's it for the reload.
Yeah, the weekly reload.
There's a
lot
more.
Man, we sucked this week, huh?
hey, if we filled over a half hour, that's all that's important. Yeah. Like those dudes that write those fucking articles for AP.
Yeah, it was our 500 words.
But you know, son, I think that the main topic will be a lot better than the reload.
Hopefully.
It's a lot far more interesting than TIE Fighter case mods and Apple finally giving up on RISC architecture that was going to change the whole world.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that happened too, huh? They're going with Intel. I guess they dumped IBM. Was it IBM they had? IBM.
Yeah, I believe it was.
It's the only, you know, company lead enough to produce a RISC processor.
Hey,
anymore.
Don't hate on Motorola.
Yeah. Oh, just kicked the mic. Man, this is an off week. So,
and we had 2 weeks to prepare. Look at that.
2 weeks to prepare. Man, it was a rough 2 weeks.
Busy. It has been, man.
A lot of shit going down.
It has been.
A lot of shit going down. I've been scanning numbers. Haven't found anything interesting. Scanning out 800-555-99XX block. You know, a lot of talk line numbers and crap like that, and some chick named Angie. And
that reminds me, didn't ICANN come up with a new extension that they're adding?
.xxx. Yes. That's should be out what, next year or this year? For sale the end of this year.
Is it
sometime
December?
Soon?
Yeah, it's sweet. I'm gonna register
malicefactor.xxx.
I was thinking, you know, FBI.xxx or FBIL.xxx or
something. We'll get something out of it.
Yeah, we'll definitely get something.
Scoop up a couple of those domain names.
Delete.xxx.
Yeah. I wonder why they did that. Just,
hasn't that been on the proposal board for a couple years now? Or?
You know how much shit is on their proposal board?
Those dudes meet
once a year for about 2.5 hours. They're probably just sitting there drinking martinis and one stripper walking around the room and someone's like, hey, we should do XXX domain name.
You know something? First of all, no fucking internet committee like that could ever have a stripper walking around. These men are all geeks at heart, man.
Yeah.
Come on. And secondly, what the fuck is ICANN probably has a subcommittee for a committee of another subcommittee of another committee that just handles that fucking proposal board. Because you know that's how they have to do things, right?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. That's how it works.
Half the fucking meeting agenda is who's going to be the director for the next year of a particular subcommittee.
Yeah, I'm sure they have the proposal board agency for proposal boards is to create proposal boards.
Now we're talking about things we absolutely know nothing about.
Yeah, I don't care to know anything about. But there is a XXX
extension,
you know, top level domain name,
and that's cool for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm tired of all these porn sites taking up all the good .com names. You know,
exactly.
I mean, there's probably like, I mean, what do you think? How many porn sites have, you know, registered .com domain names, like, you know, 400 trillion or so? I mean,
you're familiar with Dick's Sporting Goods, right?
Yeah.
Don't ever go to Dick's.com.
No.
Thinking you're gonna be buying.
No. Made that mistake.
Pair of gym shorts.
I actually did that. I did that at work. I went to,
That'll teach you.
Yeah, I figured out. You know, I'm like sportsauthority.com. You know, I'm trying all the sporting places. I forget what I was looking for, but, you know, it's all monitored traffic and, you know, they filter everything and they filter URLs. And, you know, I typed it in and, you know, it comes up, you know, site is blocked, pornographic traffic and everything else. And I'm like, oh, shit, man. I don't need some network admin where
and
I work.
On top of it,
trouble.
You're going to dicks.com. It's not like.
Yeah, they come over and, you know, see me sitting there and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only am I getting fired, but they're getting
you're gonna
the
have
wrong
the
impression
HR guy
me.
Hitting on you, too. For your exit interview.
Yeah, exit interview. That would be the security guard coming up and trying to wrestle me out of there. Which would be a funny scene, but yeah, no one ever said anything, so apparently they don't monitor any of the log files, but...
You know how fucking deep those log files must be for any particular day? Think those admins are making, what, 70, 80 grand a year, if that?
Yeah.
To look at fucking...
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't be the admins looking at it. They hire some so-called, like, summer interns or something and be like...
Yeah, but did you do this during the summer, or...
I don't know. Yeah, they're probably backing up
exactly.
over the winter. You know, it's funny. I get emails from guys that, man, there's some bad words in there. Joke emails. I've gotten bad pictures. I got one guy that every time he sends out, you know, joke email or something like that, everything is in there, you know, fuck, everything else. And I got this flagged high priority, you know, in my inbox. It says meeting notice changed, you know, or something like that. And I open it up and I'm like, oh, come on. But I got to the point where, you know, I don't want to get fired. So I stopped opening up this guy's email because, I mean, I've been sitting at my cube and guys next to me are like, hey, check this out. I turn around, he's like a naked chick on the screen. I'm like, man, what are you doing? You know, it's like we're in the middle of freaking office here, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, in cubes. Anybody could be walking by at that 1 minute, you know? And he's like, hey, you know, like pointing at it and stuff. I'm like, all right, it's cool, man. It's all right. It's a naked picture of a naked woman. You're 50 years old. You should have seen that by now, you know? But
anyway,
it is interesting is what that ties into is the main topic. I tried looking up information on it, and that was blocked at work because they don't want me going around those filters. So we'll get into the main topic now. The main topic is Tor networking. T-O-R.
Now, right. Should we have a 5-minute discussion as to... These guys actually do onion routing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's second generation onion routing, I guess. Why it's called onion routing is beyond me. I didn't look into it enough. But onion routing was developed by the government, wasn't it? By DARPA and...
Naval Group.
Yeah, the Naval Group. So
a Naval Group. Or,
anyway, so
Naval
what the tour is...
Lab.
Yeah. So what the tour is basically a way to keep your traffic anonymous on the web. So we'll get into it and talk about this. The tour is backed by the EFF, which is the Electronic Frontier Foundation. They throw money at it. I think they pay a couple developers to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all open source. The code is there. And... So you can look at it, make sure there's no holes and everything else. And,
no back doors.
Yeah. So the URL for this is Tor, which is tor.eff.org. And we'll put all links up to this stuff in the show notes. So basically the Tor keeps you anonymous on the internet. So what we did is... you brought this to my attention. I've never heard of this until 2 weeks ago. I think we talked about it last time we did the episode.
That's right. It was on Slashdot originally, actually talking about the number of Tor routers in the world, which at that point was
120 or something.
120. It hit 120 or 150.
Since that post on Slashdot, there's like another 50 more.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
We actually looked into setting up a Tor router until... We read deeper into the FAQ.
Oh, it's not. I don't think it's bad setting up a router at all. Just didn't have the chance to do it or really the desire.
And exactly. The desire just wasn't there.
I mean, if I don't have that much bandwidth to donate to it, so which is why I didn't decide not to do it because they wanted at least 25K a second dedicated to it.
Yeah, 20 to 25 kilobytes a second. That and the fact that I really don't want the DMCA to send me a letter or our friends over at the FBI to send me a letter saying I'm doing whatever what or Mr.
Well,
White's
I mean, they'd have
whatever
to,
what.
They'd have to unencrypt the traffic and, you know, figure it out, but after they're sniffing on your line, you know. Anyway, so let's talk about how this Tor stuff works.
Yes.
All right. So basically there's Tor software that you need to install on your computer. It also uses some software called Privoxy, which is basically a web proxy you run on your local machine. And the Tor stuff works with the Privoxy software. And there's a Tor network, which is the group of servers. And Tor software on your local machine encrypts your traffic. All right, say you're browsing for Google.com. Encrypts that. The Tor software has a list of Tor servers. It sends the encrypted traffic to the Tor server, and it bounces around between a few different Tor servers, and then it goes out to the internet unencrypted, retrieves the web page from Google, goes back to that exit point that server your traffic came out of, that encrypts it and returns it to you encrypted. So basically, whatever you request for any traffic you send out is encrypted off of your box down the line to the last Tor server, and then it's unencrypted to the destination. Any incoming traffic is unencrypted until the Tor servers. It then is encrypted and sent back to you.
And the upshot of all that is it basically changes your IP address and encrypts your traffic.
Yeah, it encrypts all your traffic, which is good. It doesn't change your IP address.
I mean, what it changes is your IP.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You're showing your traffic that you sent out. You're not attached to it. It's showing, you know, an IP address of the Tor server. And so the network of Tor servers is basically a cloud. I'm sure people have seen the drawings where there's a couple computers on one side and, you know, a couple computers on the other, and there's a big cloud that says internet, you know, where the two lines are attached. I mean, open up a Cisco networking book and you'll see that on page one. The Tor network really is that cloud where, you know, you go in there and your data pings in between a whole bunch of Tor servers and comes out somewhere on the internet, right? And, I mean, if you set this up and you go and look at showmyip.com and stuff and refresh the page, you'll see that IP address changing. If you go to Google, I was having Google come up in German, having it come up in Japanese, you know, because I'm popping, my traffic's popping out on the internet in Germany and in Japan and stuff, so Google thinks that it's from there and, you know, uses the appropriate language.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should read this here. This is off the FAQ. It's the overview off the Tor site. And it says, Tor is a network of virtual tunnels that allows people and groups to improve their privacy and security on the internet. It also enables software developers It also enables software developers to create new communication tools with built-in privacy features. Tor provides the foundation for a range of applications that allow organizations and individuals to share information over public networks without compromising their security. So,
in a word, pimp.
Yeah, no, it's fucking lit. It's, you know, open source, it's free, and
we've been using it for
a couple weeks now. I mean, I went, since you told me about it, I went and, you know, I read about it, I grabbed it, I hooked it up, I've been using it on and off, not all the time. I do shut it off.
Because you definitely are going to see a performance degradation.
Yeah, it all depends on what you're looking at. If you're just looking up, you know, say text websites, or if you're just instant messaging or something through it, you're not really going to see any performance difference. But if you're looking at, you know, say looking up pictures on Google, you know, doing a picture search, and you're getting 50 pictures back on a page, it's going to be slow because you're pinging around these Tor servers, and Tor servers are, you know, put up by people. There's a minimum of 25 kilobytes a second bandwidth, and that's really just the only requirement. So it's, you know, not the fastest thing in the world, but which is all right.
It's,
I mean,
it's fine for what you're gaining.
Yeah, oh, it's definitely a good trade-off. I mean, because if you're looking for pictures of, I don't know, beach houses on, you know, Google Images, you just shut the, you know, Tor software off and, you know, just go through it regular unencrypted without using Tor and get your beach house picture, whatever stupid thing you're looking up. And, you know, I mean,
exactly.
You don't need to use it all the time, but...
You, I mean, you can definitely, I believe I read this in the FAQ, you can definitely compromise your own security by, say, if you run an Internet Explorer through the Tor software and then running Firefox or Mozilla without using the Tor software. But it would take a level of surveillance for one user. You shouldn't have to worry about anyone tracking your traffic if you just turn off the Tor software for a moment, download the picture of the beach houses or whatever you're going to look at, and then turn it back on.
Yeah. I mean,
the point of that is it's definitely not 100% perfect. It's not going to provide you with...
No, it's, you know, it's not 100% perfect, but it works. And it works. It works well. I mean, when I set it up, I was, you know, I set it up on my box, and I had my laptop, and I was sniffing the traffic off and taking a look at it and everything, and it's encrypted. It's going out encrypted. And so to be able to view what you're sending out there, it would have to be decrypted, and, you know, there has to be a reason. I mean, obviously, if someone is monitoring your traffic, like the FBI, for whatever reason.
Your ISP.
Then having it encrypted is only so safe. I mean, it can be broken. I mean, mm-hmm. There isn't an encryption that can't be broken. It's just a matter of how long, you know. But if there's no reason to look at you, then, I mean, no one's ever going to know what you're sending out there, what you're getting back. And when I read through this stuff and I looked at it, I had a few worries, like the fact that you are sending out a packet to a Tor server and it bounces around the Tor network, that is that packet logged,
mm-hmm.
you know, by the server that receives it, the stuff you're getting back, is that logged? And it's not. The Tor software on the servers doesn't log anything. It doesn't remember what came in from where, and it only knows the next destination, okay,
mm-hmm.
on the Tor network. It doesn't know paths, okay? There isn't a server in the Tor network that knows the path, the entire path of a packet. So when your packet goes out there and it enters the Tor network into that first server, that server knows that it came from you. And it knows where that packet's going. The next server knows where that packet came from and knows where it's going. Okay? And all the way down the line. Now, obviously, you would think that you could trace back. You find that packet on one server, and it's going to know where it came from, where it's going. And from there, you can keep tracing it. But the Tor software deletes that information. It doesn't keep it. It keeps it as long as it needs to. And I was looking at a couple sites where I timed out, where I just never got information back. And that was because it was taking, the sites I was hitting were very, very slow to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was taking so long to go through the Tor network, sure, it was timing out, because the Tor servers are deleting that information, and you know, it took forever for this page to load, because I ended up going through to it without the Tor, because it was no big deal, and you know, it took forever to load. I mean, it was horribly
talking
slow.
Talking about a frame where it probably done up in tables for that page, which added about 100 kilobytes to the actual HTML code.
Yes,
and then you
yes,
got,
yes, yes.
All right, I won't preach about...
Don't go on a tables rant.
Don't get me started. Then.
Everybody knows about tables and how much they suck. We're not going to go on that rant.
Unfortunately, not enough people know that. No, never mind. What would be the possible weaknesses in a system like this? Where's the weakest link in this chain, man?
Well, definitely in the system itself, without talking about user errors, the weakest link would be the logging of information and traffic, and the Tor servers do not do that. So really, the way the whole system is set up is that if someone is, say, sniffing traffic on a website and seeing who's visiting that website, like what was it last year, Raise the Fist,
mm-hmm,
went down.
That's right. I think that was longer than last year, wasn't it?
Was it 2 years ago?
It's been a long time since Raise the Fist got taken out.
Yeah, it has. So I actually ran across some Raise the Fist pages the other day. Like someone archived them and had them up on their site.
Really?
Yeah. I should probably find that and share it with everybody. But it was interesting because I had never actually been to Raise the Fist. I had just heard that it was taken out.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously when it was taken out, you couldn't visit it anymore. And I couldn't find an archive of it. And
yeah, FBI will shut down its sites, and they like to put up their banner ads on those sites afterward. Free advertising for FBI.com.
That's kind of funny. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about?
The weak links in this.
Yeah, the weak links in the system. So we'll use Raise the Fist as an example. The FBI is looking to shut down Raise the Fist. And so they're sniffing all the traffic going in and out of Raise the Fist. And, you know, I'm sure that site was probably hosted with a hosting company. You know, they walk in, as Bush wants them to do, to the hosting company and say, I want all your information right now. And they get it within like 45 seconds. And so, you know, they're sniffing traffic, say, at the hosting company, the website you're visiting, to see who's visiting the website. And they pull a packet, which is your packet that you sent through the Tor. And they go and they trace it back that the IP address is to this Tor server, and they go and try and look at that, and they're going to get nowhere. Okay? The bad thing would be is if they can obviously trace the path back to you, but they can't. So the Tor server does not know where that, you know, by the time that the Tor server doesn't log anything, it just keeps records long enough to get your traffic back to you. Okay?
Right.
All right, so it doesn't log anything. It just basically keeps those connections alive. And if the connection times out or if it closes out, like, you know, the handshake process is done,
yep,
then it's done with that connection. It closes it, and it's gone forever. So there's no log of the stuff. The only way that I could see to trace back would be, you know, to nab that information on the server, you know, with the connection active all the way back to you, which is impossible, you know. Maybe not impossible, but I'd like to think it's impossible, you know. course, you never want to say anything's impossible. But so, yeah, I feel very safe.
Very comfortable using Tor.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyway. Actually, I lost that train of thought. So.
Yeah, it. You know, like I said, I saw that my packets were encrypted, and I saw that I'm sending out requests to websites, and you know, it's popping out in different countries, and I mean, it's working. That you know, it goes out to that. Excuse me. It goes out to that first Tor server, and then pings around in the Tor network, and then goes out through an exit server. There is, you know, entry servers and exit servers. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, designated entry servers and designated exit servers. And basically, what they want to do is they authorize your server. I forget what they called it, but certify it or something like that.
Yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I forget what the term they use, but basically they check and make sure that your server's legit. And if it is, then it's put as an entry or an exit server. All the other servers that aren't authorized or whatever it is are just in the middle. So right. That's where your traffic pings around through, because all they're checking to see when they authorize it and everything is that you have that bandwidth that you say you're putting forward. When you run a server, you set how much bandwidth it's going to use. Okay, you specify explicitly. And, you know, it just goes and you can use the Tor software to basically log with the Tor network and say that I'm here, I have a server, it has this much, and then you put it as an entry or an exit server. That's all it means. I mean, there's no nothing really special about it, but there are entry servers and exit servers, and then all the other ones are just in the middle. And it really does create a cloud, basically, I mean, if you will, where that that diagram, like I was talking about before, that you see so much, is really true. That your mm-hmm. packet enters a cloud and it exits the cloud. And what happens in between is up in the air. So if you're using it right, you know, I think it's very safe. You know, I'm pretty psyched with it. I think it's elite stuff for a lot of reasons.
And, you know, the install really wasn't that bad either.
The install is easy. Basically, you download the Tor software, and this is for a client running on your desktop or whatever. You download the Tor software. You get some software called Privoxy. You install that. The Tor software has config files, which, if you're using Windows, is right on the start menu in main config. Mm-hmm. Pop it open. You have to put in a line of code in there, save it, and then set whatever you're going to use to use the Privoxy proxy server that's running on your local machine. So, say your internet browser, you go into your options, your configuration, and, you know, click use proxy, type localhost, and it's port 8118, I think the Privoxy stuff is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, 8118. So you just set it up to use that for whatever you want. I mean, your instant messaging, you know, whatever you can get to run through a proxy out to the internet is going to work with this stuff, which is, you know, it's pretty sweet. I mean, it's not just for web browsing. So that's really all there is to the setup.
Tor. And it definitely, if you're thinking about trying it, you should. It gets the highest recommendation that Mr. White, myself, can give a piece of software.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, like I said, I'm really happy using it. I'm confident. And on top of it, for being an open source project, which is another plus in my mind, is that it's open source, is that if you can read code and all that stuff, you can take a look at the software if you think there's a backdoor or whatever. I mean, they put the software out there for you to look
at.
I mean, you could grab the source code, read through it, and compile it, and
hopefully contribute too, if you want to go that route.
Yeah, it Yeah, the stuff works, and the documentation on it, the Tor website, is great. Really, really good documentation.
Yeah, it is a great, it's a great layout, and it's easy to surf it, and
you could tell it's easy
to understand it. They don't use redundant words because they weren't going for search engine optimization. All we can hope is that HP will steal some of this software and and put it into work with the .NET framework.
Yeah,
for their ID program.
Actually, I, you know, would rather have my national ID information zipping through the Tor than, you know.
Yeah, definitely, else, along with my Xbox Live registration with my driver's license number. So the South Koreans or North Koreans with their key loggers can't.
The
can't
North Koreans. North Koreans are the hackers. The South Koreans are, the hackies. Say that.
The hackies.
So, yeah, I mean, the documentation is really, really good, which is surprising. I mean, usually open source
stuff,
but you could tell that the EFF is definitely throwing money behind this.
If Malice Factor can get something up and running on his box in about 5 minutes, you can do it too, okay?
what a cheesy commercial that would be, huh?
what? That would be.
That is.
So. Yeah, speaking of the EFF, weren't we going to pimp some t-shirts now? And
Yeah, we'll get to that. We wrapped up with the Tor. I mean, is that
There's not really much more we can say about it. It's Leet. Go and download it right now.
Yeah.
And install it on your box and protect yourself from whoever's trying to sniff your fucking traffic.
All right. So I guess that's it for the main topic. So we can wrap this up then, huh? Yeah, the t-shirt thing. Yeah, we got FBuild t-shirts going on. If you go to the website and you click buy swag, there's a link there to Cafe Press. We set it up with them, for better or for worse, I don't know yet. But yeah, we set it up to them. I'm going to switch it around so that it goes directly there instead of going to a page on our website with a link to the Cafe Press thing. But anyway, we got some FBuild t-shirts if you feel so, you know.
So inclined to advertise for us, become ad whores for us.
Yeah, they,
Please turn your chest into a fucking billboard. Okay.
In the name of FBuild Radio. But there is something good that comes out of it, is that, if you do buy a t-shirt, Cafe Press obviously lets you, profit off of it. And, we chose not to make a profit off of it. So what we did is, Cafe Press charges X amount, $13 for a t-shirt or something, to let you set a profit off of that. We set it up $1 more for each item that's on there, and we're going to donate that dollar to the EFF. So stuff like the Tor, you know, we can contribute somewhat to it. I mean,
we just don't have lead enough skills to fuck with the source code. So we'll figure we'll throw money towards them, which is almost as cool as being able to contribute to the source.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, we'll sell.
So help us, help the EFF to help you stay anonymous and
get like a fucking sweet FBuild t-shirt and donate to the EFF at the same time.
Yeah, and get other people besides our relatives. Did our relatives actually listen to the show?
No, dude. No.
And people living in Canada listening to the show.
You gotta love those pseudo Canadians.
Pseudo-Canadians up there.
You fucking bastard. Anyway, yeah, so go get an FBuild t-shirt, donate $1 to the EF at the same time, and basically we're gonna send in the money, saying it's from FBuild listeners. If you do want your name attached to it, send us an email at radio@fbuildradio.com saying, you know, hey, motherfucker, I bought a t-shirt. I want my name on the letter that goes to the EFF.
We're giving a little bit of this money to the EFF and a whole lot of money to the t-shirt company.
Yeah, yeah, the fucking bitches they are.
Help enrich them and do a little bit of good while you're making a corporation even richer than it already is.
Well, what do you think? When we get like $25 for donations, we'll send it in like $25
chunks?
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. I mean, at least buy all those hardworking geeks new keyboards, because you know they need them by now.
Yeah. Now, the EFF, if you don't know about them, EFF.org, it's a really, really good organization, nonprofit organization that does a lot of great stuff for, you know, people like us.
People like us, and anyone who wants to keep Big Brother from becoming a reality.
Yeah. They do a lot in the digital age.
A lot of good.
Yeah, they're one of the few groups of people that get it. So, yeah, so I guess that's it, huh?
I guess that's it.
Check out fpillradio.com. Hop on the IRC channel.
We probably won't even be there, but...
But whatever. It's on there. Pound fbill on Dalnet.
Talk to your homies in New Zealand.
Yeah.
At our expense. On us.
Shoot us an email, please. We'll read it on the air. You got questions?
Vote in our poll. More of you can say that we suck.
Voicemail. We got voicemail. I don't even know the fucking voicemail number. It's a DC number, though. That's on the website. It's all on the website.
It's all on the website. Go there and look at it. And buy a fucking t-shirt.
Do nothing. Never listen to us again. Whatever you want to fucking do. All right?
Hey, man, don't get negative.
I'm not getting negative. It's people's right, man. Choose. Do what you want. That's it.
Okay, don't get preachy either. All right. Please, be negative.
Oh, we got a song to end tonight. David Bowie song.
Okay, so play it.
Just like to thank David Bowie for giving us written consent to play this on a radio show.
You downloaded that with Tor, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't download it. I own the CD.
Thanks for listening this time around.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
See you then.
Later.
His hair and Johnny wants to be seeing cars. Johnny God is an American.